Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Hot dog. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University, and it does... looked like for us, we finally get a touch of spring. And I know that so many of us are grateful. Some of you might still want to hold on to cold. I'm just kidding. It's a good, been a beautiful day. And we've got a couple more coming. And it is, we are worthy, y'all. Of some good things, we're worthy. Tonight, the low looks like about 44. Not as cold as it's been these last couple of nights, though, for real. Tomorrow's high, 74. Look at that. That's good stuff right there. In the low 70s for the next couple of days. All righty. Yes. X, I can see some outdoor something going on. I'm just... You know, folks are going to be out, man.
Yeah. It's that season.
Yeah.
Yep.
And baseball has started down the street at that...
Sounds.
Yeah, yeah. They've been packing them in down there.
Yeah, I haven't been to a Sounds game in a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's nice over there.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. It really is. It's lovely. And they pack them in over there, for real. But we are, our lows are going to be in the upper 50s. I wanted to, you know, Joel is a very nice person, I can tell.
He is.
His book is kind of a little touch and agree on the one coming up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This author is returning Sunday. She's the author of Christian Slavery, Conversion and Race in the Protestant Atlantic World. And... this was a really good discussion with her.
Yes, and a very good book.
And, I mean, that was so deep. I'm like, man. So, you know, this is the show, you know, to learn stuff. And, you know, I'm not in the business of dumbing you down. Sorry. That would be somewhere else. that's not what I do. But hers really... although there have been other authors over time that had, you know, ran the runway on the topic, she went so in-depth into explaining it that I had to have her come back on because it was just so... And once you see how these things are tied together, and let's just say how they're playing out in the politics of today, Lord, you know, there's a lot of connection. So be sure to tune in Sunday's edition of What's the 411. Now, before I take a look at some of these headlines, this Sunday is Dr. Jones's last countdown.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, doctor... We'll miss you. He's turning over the reins.
Okay.
Do we know yet what Hezekiah Walker's going to call his show?
Probably that.
The Hezekiah Walker Countdown.
Yeah.
Well.
I can't see it being called anything else.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Yeah, I'm just, you know, so used to having, when I, you know, get ready and drive in, you know, the doctor's on. And so many people that he's going back to on air every day. And we carry his weekend countdown. And he's getting ready to do his last countdown this week. So tune in on Sunday for the Bobby Jones countdown. And the countdown is being handed over to another name in gospel music that many of you are familiar with. He's been filling in, sort of co-hosting with him for what,
the last the second hour,
two or three weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get his toes wet. So we won't be saying, well, what's he doing on there? Because you know how people will. They're going to do that anyway, but, yeah. You know. Like, where the Hezekiah come from? Where's the doctor at? You know, they'll be wondering. So, don't be surprised if you do tune in on Sunday morning and you hear something ever so slightly different. You know, we have been, today has been, this week has been quite busy. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Is it the weather or what?
It's the weather.
I mean, you know, the graduation coming and in about a month, you know, our student
that we will be graduating and going home.
That we appreciate so well is leaving us, and as soon as she learns everything, then she got to go. I'm like, girl, Lord. does she know we're talking about her right now?
She does.
Okay. But that's, you know, okay, she leaned in, okay. But it's like this time of year when, you know, the people come back. Isn't this when they come back?
Some of them.
Is this a reunion or something? Don't they do that?
Maybe for graduation, some of them might.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't alumni come up here for something?
Some of them.
Yeah. They have some kind of stuff they do. But, you know, I'm trying to keep up with all these. It's hard to keep up, okay? It's hard to keep up. Does Sonia know?
I'll tell her to grab. She's grabbing a microphone.
When is the graduation?
Graduation is on May 5th.
Okay. So in about a month and a week.
Correct.
Where are you going? You know Miss K gonna get emotional. You already know, right? I mean, you know. Oh no, for real. Where are you going?
After graduation, I will be staying in Nashville and testing the waters.
Well,
May 5th?
Sure? Is that the first?
That's a Sunday.
Maybe it's the 6th.
Maybe the 6th.
I thought it was May 5th.
That's your baccalaureate.
Yeah.
Could be the 6th.
Girl, you better get that.
So many days you have to keep up with.
I know. It is a lot. So, you going to stay in the city?
Yes, I'm going to give the city about maybe 2 years, and if it does me right, then, you know, I'll continue to be here.
Well, say it isn't so. Now, don't you forget your good folks at WFSK.
Oh, never, ever, ever will I ever forget you.
Okay, because, you know, that's what they all say when the microphone's on. And then as soon as they get that piece of paper, that parchment paper, they are like, boom. I'm like, what happened to such and such? Don't, you know, abandon ship. You know, and then, because, you know, I see a pattern. They all do the same thing. No, we going to miss Kate. We going to, da, da, da. How many of them eggs come back? Zero.
Some of them do.
At homecoming.
Yeah.
They don't say bye before they leave. Yeah. You know, we want you to say bye when you get ready to pack and get on the plane.
Will.
Thank you for having faith in me.
Well, you know, I love you and everything. But, you know, I mean, people have just, you know, I have my hopes up real high. And I thought you'd come by and say, hey, before you go or something, but you're staying. So we'll be seeing you at the fundraisers.
Of course, we say that. But, you know, when parents show up, they forget about everything.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And everybody.
Yeah. That's
no,
true.
I will be here. Everyone that's listening will hold me accountable to that.
Yes,
so
they
will.
How
are
they
going to
hold you accountable?
They don't even know yet.
That's what I'm saying. You're right.
They're
going to
hold me accountable. They're
going to
call up here like, hey, is she here?
That's that girl that said that stuff on the radio. That's her. I had to point her out.
Did she come back?
Yeah. That would be as the world turns. But anyway, you have been extremely helpful to us here at the station, and you have done a lot of different types of things. That it's because of your interest that, you know, you have done a variety of different things and participated in a variety of things. So we are, you know, and I know you're going to Fisk and Belmont.
That's right.
And I do realize coming to WFSK is the highlight of your day. But I just want you to know how much we greatly appreciate everything that you do to help us here.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me because, you know, you hold everyone to such a high standard. And, a lot of people don't get a lot of, you know, you have very high expectations.
Well, it's because, you know, I want to see people succeed. I do, you know, it just vexes my spirit to see people waste such time in their lives when they don't understand how short it is. You're going to blink and you're going to be 35 in a minute, okay? And you're going to be like, where'd the time go? I wasted time. I'm not getting it back. It's not coming back. And I just, you know, I see the patterns that people have. They make the same mistakes over and over and over and over. And unfortunately, in life, if you look back at the Old Testament, there's this set of things that human beings just keep doing over and over and over and over. So and a lot of it has been time-wasting, but to some people, it has been an opportunity for them to learn how life is. But you have asked me some very interesting questions and some things that show me that you want to know not just a few things about this business, this entertainment and media business industry, but you really do want to excel in it and
most definitely
have it be a career. And as I told you earlier today when we were having a conversation, that, you know, I've been 41 years in it, so, you know, there's not a lot people can do with me right now. But my point is that I know folks that haven't lasted that long. And when you last that long and you're still in it and people can, you know, turn on the radio and hear you, that's the biggest blessing, that there's not a dollar that can buy that. That's the biggest blessing of all. Now, this is afternoon drive. I don't take this light at all. I do not, you know, because I started out working midnight to 6 a.m. and nobody would even return my phone calls. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But I just feel blessed. And you know,
hopefully I'll get up to your height or even half of your height someday. So.
Well, you better be around 40-something years. Yeah, you better take care. You better go to bed now. You can't be up all night long. I had to learn that, too, after some years of not knowing it. But it just takes, you know, you got to take time. And you know, I didn't want to get rich. I just wanted to be in this. I love this business. I love it. I love radio so much that, I don't know. So, you know, there's people out there like me but mainstream Nashville, they don't know us. They don't know the black veterans who love this business. They don't know them. And they don't hardly listen to them. But just as they can call the names of all the others who have worked in the mainstream side of Nashville, they can't call a single name of anybody black on the radio in Nashville that's done all the things that we've done. So, you know, that kind of vexes my spirit. But anyway, and having said that, that's why we keep the boat floating
and it's,
do the best we can.
It's our job. You know, people of my generation that's in media to put them up on game.
Well, there you go. So, X, you heard it. Okay, for real.
I hear her now.
You eating jelly beans?
No, peanuts.
Oh, okay.
I hear her now.
Because, you know, I bought the good jelly beans.
Yeah.
You notice that, right?
I can't hit them up till Sunday.
You know.
Yeah, I'm on that consequence.
Oh, you're on the yeah. Okay. Well.
So if they're there Sunday.
I didn't buy the cheap ones.
Yeah.
See, y'all didn't eat the cheap
ones. Those are the good ones. No, we know the difference. You can look at them and tell.
Is it shiny?
Yeah, you can just, you know, if you had a few, you know the good ones, how they look. You know the ones that just sort of.
So you see, you missed out on all the years of me buying cheap jelly beans. And like nobody, everybody pick out the red ones. And then they'd pick out the green ones. And then they'd pick out the orange ones. And it would be nothing but the black and the whites laying in the bottom of the jar.
They did you like that?
Yes, they did. So then nobody they took the white ones.
And nobody eats the black jelly beans.
I ate them.
Wow.
Because I was not going to discriminate against the black jelly beans.
Well.
That's licorice, man. I wasn't doing it. Anyway, well, we just kicked the ball around just enough to go to break. And there's a, because sometimes, you know, I go deep and even I need to exhale, you know? Even hosts need to exhale. We have our book for this hour coming up. And it is entitled Soul, S-O-U-L, Soul, Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. Jane Wyker is the author, and this is Jane's first book. And in it, she shares her 46-year inner journey experience and her guidance in all these 46 years she puts in between these covers in this book. So maybe people won't have to take 46 years to get to the point. It is Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
What I remember most is the loneliness I felt, the separation from other people. At the end, drinking was no fun for me. Since I've started to attend AA meetings, the greatest gift is that I've become reconnected. I'm part of life again. I really like myself, and that's wonderful. AA is a miracle in my life. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home also provides full traditional funeral services. For more information, contact SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com. or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/sagfuneralhome.
A wreck with injuries on Ellington Parkway northbound just before Spring Street. On 40 West, a multiple vehicle crash at the Jefferson Street exit with the left lane blocked. 40 East and West are crammed with traffic throughout the Gulch and west of the West Loop. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from HomeFreeUSA.org. If you're renting in Nashville, you can probably afford your own home. Stop making your landlord rich. Discover easy ways to move from renting to home ownership. Join Home Free USA, Fisk University, Bank of America, SWBC Mortgage, and Synovius Mortgage Home Buyer Fair on Saturday, April 6th from 10 a.m. to noon in the Appleton Room, Jubilee Hall. Experienced professionals will show you where to find and how to qualify for your down payment and closing cost assistance. Gifts to the first 10 to arrive. Refreshments and free parking. Seats are filling up fast. Register before it's too late. Visit homefreeusa.org/CFA. That's homefreeusa.org/CFA. I'll see you Saturday, April 6th at Fisk University, Appleton Room, Jubilee Hall for the Home Free USA Center for Financial Advancement Home Buyer Fair.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And we are happy to have, this is our empowerment book for today. This hour, our guest is Jane Wacker. She shares her vast experience of her 46-year inner journey, working in over a dozen disciplines. She held the courage and faith to follow the guidance of many teachers and ultimately her own soul. Go ahead on. Now 82 and still learning, she models a life prioritizing happiness that sources from within. You are not 82. You are just looking way too good on this photo, Jane. I'm like,
well, actually, Sharon, I'm 83 now.
Oh, my God. You fell into the fountain of youth, honey, I must say. My God. Wow, baby. Well, you certainly did have a discovery that it shows all over your face. I mean, seriously, it is so good to have you with us today.
Oh, I'm so pleased to be with you.
Absolutely. Now, the new book, remind the audience, it is entitled Soul Selfish, S-O-U-L, Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl. Now, Jane, where in the U.S. are you?
Right now I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, nice and warm, huh?
Oh, it's beautiful here.
Oh,
totally beautiful.
It always is. At least that's what the people say whenever I speak with someone from there. Now, you, in addition to being an author, you also are a family counselor. Tell us about that, because I think you have spent some decades in counseling, right?
Yes, well, I haven't been doing family counseling for a while, but I did have a 29-year practice, which was so fulfilling and beautiful. But it started with parent education, mm-hmm. which I began in the 70s when there was really no such word as parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed to me, after my divorce, which was very financially challenging,
mm-hmm.
That I wanted to find something to work with that was really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, in the 70s, women's work was very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Careers that were open to women were teaching, which I did for 2 years before having a family,
mm-hmm.
nursing, librarian, secretary, sales, and lower management.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the only things that were really available mm-hmm. to women. And I had gone to Cornell University and studied early childhood education and was a teacher and really wanted to do something about people that that would make their lives better and happier. And coming from my family of origin, I knew that my parents had a lot to learn and that I, as a parent, also had a lot to learn.
Now, what age, because I think we were having this in the office earlier, having this discussion about age. There's this comes up, this moment when you just discover some things that you want to find out more about yourself and et cetera. When was that magic moment for you?
Well, that magic moment for me was in the summer of 1970, where my husband, who at that time was very successful and came home with the idea that it would be wonderful to go to Italy for the summer with the four children and just explore Italy and have time together. And I had never been to Europe and found that absolutely exciting and wonderful. And so, of course, I said, yes, let's do that. And there I was in Italy, you know, in this gorgeous, gorgeous environment where people were so warm, music was so beautiful, food was so delicious. language was so lovely. And at times when I was with my family and engaged in sightseeing and experiencing all of Italy, I was really happy. But when I was on my own and just with myself, I could feel a sadness. And I thought to myself, well, what's wrong with me that I would feel sad in this idyllic life that I'm living? And I decided that when I came home from Italy, that I would take a look inside myself and see what that was all about.
How old were you then?
Oh, I was 34 years old.
Okay, mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you know and have talked with or even counseled, is that around the time frame of when the realization comes?
I find that most of them were in their 40s and married for some time and disappointed in their lives in one way or another. And also having issues with children. And so it just seemed to me that it was really, really important to do the work of bringing the idea to the world as best I could that life is an inside-out process and that our life is governed by our thoughts and beliefs, which very many of them are created in early childhood, and we don't even know that. And these beliefs create our feelings, which in turn create our choices and then our decisions and actions. So I thought that it would be very, very wonderful to be able to encourage people to look within themselves as I did, because it made such a huge difference in my life.
Absolutely. Now, during this time, you already had children. You'd been married a while, and then you lost a loved one.
Yes, my dad. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm in chapter 13.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. A person that I lost very early in my life that was a very dramatic difference was my mom's sister, who was my Aunt Rose.
Oh, okay.
And my Aunt Rose was really like my mom.
Mm.
She couldn't have children of her own, and so she was just with me all the time. She was just with me. And I was 10 when she died. And that had a dramatic change in my life and in my mom's life, too, because they were very close. And my mom was a very emotionally challenged person. She was very fragile. And my brother, older brother, was what I would say that he took on the role of bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very challenging to my mom. And I saw that she was very, very shaky and really not stable.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this is unconscious, and that's one of the main things I want to emphasize, that we don't know that we're taking on these roles.
Mm-hmm.
And we take them on so early that we think that these roles are who we are, and we live our lives out of these roles rather than the authentic self that we are born with, which is our soul.
Yeah. Well, when people get into these roles, they won't listen. They don't hear you. They won't, you know, because at that point they feel they've lived as long as they've lived. And even if you see them doing something damaging, they're still not going to listen. They're going to do what they do.
Well, what's true is that our parents were really subject to the desires of their parents, and their grandparents were subject to the desires of their grandparents and the thoughts and attitudes of them. So that I would say that most children take on some psychological role extremely early in life, never knowing that they're doing it. It's totally unconscious, and live that role until life poses a significant amount of disappointment or unhappiness where they're willing to say, well, I better look inside. Just as my time in Italy, which was so amazingly beautiful, and yet on my times alone, I wasn't happy, and I needed to find that for myself, and that's usually when other people begin to look as well. And that doesn't usually happen until, as we said earlier, somewhere in the late 30s, 40s, where our lives are very set in careers and in marriages with families. And so one of the pleasures that I have in this interview is to possibly impact students before they get out of college and become independent and start making their life choices so that they can make them more consciously.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say also students as well as the grown people out there listening, because there are so many of them who have not discovered happiness yet and want it, but have it defined as the opposite of what it really is. How would you define happiness? You had, you know, the things that sounds like you lived a comfortable life and, you know, marriage and all the trappings and, you know, trips and traveling and everything, but you still were not happy.
Well, what I found is that externals is not what creates sustained happiness. Mm-hmm. That it can, that externals create momentary happiness, mm-hmm. or maybe happiness for a month, or in our case, in Italy for 3 months. Mm-hmm. But what creates happiness is connection to your soul, mm-hmm. to your authentic being, and to know what is your yes and what is your no. Mm-hmm. What do you love to do? Who do you enjoy being with? Who do you not enjoy being with? What are the qualities of the people that you admire? The more that you get to know your authentic self, the more accurate your decisions are in line with your happiness.
Yeah.
But our culture is extremely externally focused.
Yes.
And so we think if we get a beautiful car, or if we go on a beautiful trip, or we get a beautiful dress, or whatever it is, that we'll be happy. And we are for a time.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the kind of happiness that we are talking about. We're talking about sustained happiness,
mm-hmm.
a deep sense of peace and comfort in oneself, and the ability to really enjoy being with oneself and being oneself.
Well, and, you know, that can be, I guess it's more difficult now because of, you know, I hate to say social media, but, you know, you, some people look at other folks' happiness, you know, smiling and cheesing and everything, and get, you know, attitudes or get depressed or get whatever, you know, and not even knowing that's just 2 seconds. They can smile on that photo and be standing next to whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, you know, could have the worst day of their life. I mean, you know. But what is it about those images like that that, in your opinion, brings that reaction from people?
Well, I think the thing that creates the most unhappiness is that what I began to talk about before is that as very young children,
uh-huh.
The very nature of being a very young child is dependency.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So because we're dependent, we look to our parents for our food, for our shelter, for love, uh-huh. for protection, for everything. So we get signals from our parents that they like this or they don't like that, or they want this for us or they think we should do or be that. And we pick up these roles to please them, not just to please them, but to attempt to receive the love, admiration, protection, and attention that we want from our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is unconscious. Mm-hmm. So I chose good girl, which was just a girl who just gave and gave and gave and didn't demand.
Mm-hmm.
Or my brother chose good boy because he wanted their attention and got a lot of attention, mm-hmm. out of being a bad boy, but I didn't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
But other roles that children take on are jock. If they're athletic, then they become, that's who they think they are. Mm-hmm. They think they're an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go to school and they're very intelligent and they think that they're a brain. Where these are just parts of ourselves, not our essential selves. And yet we become so identified with that part,
mm-hmm.
that we don't realize that that is not who we are. That is just something that we might do well.
Is that role determined by your pecking order, if you have siblings, or does it have anything to do with where you grew up, what part of the country, or anything like that?
Well, I just think it has to do with the responses of our parents, mm-hmm. more than anything, that when we get admiration for the things that we are doing as a role, then we think that's great, and we keep doing it. So for myself as a good girl who didn't demand anything, it made it much easier for my mom. And so I got recognition of being undemanding and very good. Mm. Other roles that kids take on are, as I say, brains. So if I got very good marks in school, but that wasn't as important to my mom as that I was a good girl and didn't demand anything. The parents reinforce these roles that we choose. We pick those signals up. Children are extremely receptive, and they pick up from their parents what their parents want for them and from them. And in order to receive the love and protection and everything else they need, they go on with these roles, thinking that that is who they are.
Mm.
And it is only through living life as an independent adult, when life isn't working, that we begin to see, well, what's wrong? Mm. You know, this isn't working anymore.
Right. And that what an awakening that is.
Mm-hmm. It's an awakening. Well, actually, it's a slow awakening because it's a dismantling.
Yeah.
The first step is a dismantling of that role so that you can create a connection to your authentic self, your soul. Your role stands between you and your soul.
Wow. So authentic self, you know, I've heard that a lot, you know. I hope that some people find and discover that and discover it soon. My guest is a graduate of Cornell University and former elementary school teacher. Jane Weicker was a pioneer in parent education, opening her parent school in the 1970s that soon led to her 29-year family counseling practice that dealt with marriage, parenting, self-development, career, and loss. And in her first book, which we are discussing now, Soul Selfish, The Awakening of a Good Girl is interesting, and how to find happiness. If you have a question or comment, want to speak to our guest today, Jane Weicker, 615-329-8810, 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
A wreck with injuries on Ellington Parkway northbound just before Spring Street. On 40 West, a multiple vehicle crash at the Jefferson Street exit with the left lane blocked. 40 East and West are crammed with traffic throughout the Gulch and west of the West Loop. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from SAG Funeral Home. SAG Funeral Home now has opened their own crematory services. They are also committed to pass on the savings to our customers, providing and serving all communities within a 50-mile radius of Nashville. SAG Funeral Home, SAG Funeral Home at sagfuneral@gmail.com or call 615-244-5044. Visit our website at sagfuneralhome.com or author of the deuces, Paul Brown. His latest release is entitled I'm Blurring. Here's some prime cuts from the new release, plus you can win some brand new music. Be sure not to miss the WFSK Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And before we say goodnight at the top of the hour, I will be putting a pair of tickets to see Boney James when he comes on his Honestly tour to the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center on Wednesday, May the 8th at 7:30 p.m. So we're going to take care of that quick business, and he will be chatting with me on Friday at 12 noon. To tell us all about his coming in and the tour and et cetera, and welcoming him into the Music City yet again. He's a good friend of the station and yours truly, so we're looking forward to chatting with Boney James on Friday at 12 during the noon hour, so you will have other chances to win during that time, but I'm sneaking it in today because I just can do it like that sometime. And I like to do it. So there, today's book, this hour, is one you may or may not have heard of, but if you're trying to create a path to sustained happiness, not temporarily happiness, like you go to the mall and buy a pocketbook and some shoes or a new jacket, but sustained happiness, today's book is Soul Selfish, S-O-U-L, The Awakening of a Good Girl. And Jane, counselor and former educator Jane Wacker is with me. And we're happy to have her time and her expertise. And I've got to say, X, can you hear me on that side? Does she sound 83 to you? Okay, come on, testify for me.
No, she does not.
Okay.
In fact, I was shocked.
I'm like, what? So, Jane, we're swelling you up today, but I mean.
Yeah, you sure are. It feels really good.
Oh, definitely. But you have, you know, if you saw this photo, you'd be like, that she fell in the fountain of youth. Yeah. But you have.
That's when she found her purpose. That's what it is.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
See, that happiness, it shows inside and out. And, you know, and I'm certain that you get that reaction, but you have a youthful perspective and outlook, and, you know, your wit is sharp, etc. So we're grateful to have you with us today. Now, since you've got the decades of experience and under your belt the way you do, can you say to me that by the time somebody is in their late 40s, 50s, they're really either intensely into discovering happiness, or they've just given up and can't find it at all?
Well, I think that most people live life from outside in, and so they're in constant reaction to what's happening outside. So then when things happening outside feel good to them, they're happy. And when things happening outside don't feel good to them, they're unhappy. Mm-hmm. Well, my premise is that when you live your life from inside out, then you have far more opportunity to create, mm-hmm. actively create your happiness by the choices you make, because you are in tune with yourself, mm-hmm. and that you know what makes you happy and you know what you don't. So, for example, often when college students are moving towards graduation and thinking about what they want to do, and they don't know what they want to do, it's like sometimes they'll just throw darts at the want ads to see, well, what might interest me, rather than other students who really know what they want to do because they've searched within themselves as to what they want to do, mm-hmm. and so they know where to direct themselves. And so the inner life can direct you in every way. It can direct you to what kind of movies you want to see. It can direct you what kinds of foods you want to eat, and even to more important things like the work that you want as your life's work, or the person that you want to be intimately involved with. Mm-hmm. So it's when you live your life from inside out that you have far more opportunity and a possibility of creating happiness for yourself, because you're more attuned to what makes you happy. But in order to do that, you need to understand that you are living a role, and that that role is something you took on very, very young. And does that role really work for you? What is that role? Mm-hmm. Because that role is separating you from the authentic being that you were born with. Mm-hmm. That is your conditioned role, from the culture you were born into, the family you were born into, the circumstances you were born into. But your soul doesn't have any of that before it comes into this planet. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say that the happiness quotient is very much dependent upon internal deep connection.
Well, can you explain, as you define it, and especially as you define it in the book, you said that live your life from inside out. How can someone begin that process if they've never realized that that's one of the keys to bring happiness?
Well, what I recommend for very beginners, and for people who have been internally engaged for years, is to take time every single day as a priority, 20 minutes of quiet time. It could be sitting in silence, it could be journaling, it could be walking, but just a time when you're alone, and just listen to what's going on in your mind, so that you really begin to understand what's going on in your mind. Was there an incident that happened the day before that was really beautiful that you're thinking about and makes you happy? Or were you thinking about an incident from the day before that was really stressful? An argument, a disagreement, a put down, something that made you really unhappy, and what that was about. And does that need any further work? Do you need to clean something up with another person? That, in other words, as you begin to live knowing what's going on inside of you, then you can relate to, well, how did that feel? Was that something positive for me, or was that something that was problematic for me? So that when I know that it was problematic, I know how to gauge myself in the future about that. Mm-hmm. Or I learn how to discuss this with another person to clear it up, mm-hmm. where rather than accumulate it for the next time and the next time and the next time.
And that piling up is exactly where the problems are. You know, that's when it just needs to be a big pile. And folks aren't good at dealing with that. What are some tips on how to take those issues on and clear them up?
Well, the first thing is that you have to know that it's an issue. So once you know that it's an issue, you need to understand, well, how did that feel to me, or what was it that didn't work for me, or offended me, or hurt my feelings, or whatever it was, and is this something that happens often with this person or this situation, then I would know, well, you know, that's just not a situation that's a safe, happy situation for me. Mm-hmm. Or Or if it's an ongoing relationship, then you learn how to go to that person and you say, when you said or did that, I had that reaction, and I would appreciate it if you would, and then give a suggestion of what would work better for you for that person.
Okay.
But it requires your personal responsibility for your own well-being to be able to do that. And in order to take that responsibility, you have to be listening within yourself.
Right.
And I think that this is one thing that I could say, that the first step is to begin to listen to yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I guess that's hard to do if you don't ever get quiet.
Exactly. So that's why I recommend take a walk in nature by yourself, or sit quietly, or journal. Or just listen while you're driving. Listen to yourself. So that you begin to hear what's really happening inside of you. Awareness is the first step towards happiness.
Well, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people don't like silence. They don't like quiet.
Right.
So therefore, they're afraid of that. And is it because of their thoughts that they would just as soon not? They've got to have some noise or something going on.
Well, I think it's partly that they're not comfortable with their thoughts, and I think that it's also very culture-driven, that we live in a very, very external culture, and there aren't many people speaking the way I'm speaking, that life is an inside-out process. It's not about fitting into outside. It's about knowing yourself so that you can place yourself where you fit.
Yeah. And once you do that, are you switching in your role? Is that a role switch?
Little by little, yes, you begin to discover, because, like in my case, I can speak easily about myself. As a good girl, I said a lot of yes, and no was very hard for me. And as I began to see that saying yes in a given situation didn't feel good, then I'm really placed with the challenge to myself. Well, am I going to say no next time?
Yeah.
And then if I cave and I say yes again, then I just know that, well, the next time I'm going to say no. And we build up an energy in ourselves because we have some awareness. And once we have some awareness, we have choice. Before awareness, we have no choice.
Right. So this is, as I know so many, interview so many authors and counselors over the year, I know that that folks have to work on this. This is not you flip the switch and then boom, it's done.
Right.
This is a process that over time, it's not going to be overnight, it's over time. So
Correct. Can
you give some encouragement to people who are starting the process and procedure and get that in the atmosphere for them in case they are experiencing that right now?
Well, I will take the compliments that I receive from you and your staff, that I look and feel so young. And a lot of that I attribute to letting go of feelings that were heavy.
Yeah.
And the more that I let go of the heavy feelings by relating to myself and how I was feeling in incidents in which I participated and allowed things to happen that weren't making me happy, that I really learned how to create my own happiness. And one of the biggest yardsticks of that is that while my first marriage was, you know, so painful and painful to leave, that through my inner process, I created 10 years later a second marriage that is now in its 33rd year of such happiness and such companionship and such integrity. And that's because I was the good girl role in my first marriage, and I was the authentic Jane in the second.
All right. Well, that's really what's up right there. So authentically be yourself.
That's right. Because then the people in your life know how to deal with you.
Yeah.
And they know what you like and they know what you don't, and they know what you'll accept and they know what you won't.
Right.
And if they don't get to know it, then you know that maybe there's other people that will be more responsive to me.
Definitely. Well, I love it. I'm excited, Jane. I think your book is just really fabulous, and I hope that folks pick it up and follow your work. I know you probably have a website and everything with all the details and some.
I do. Okay. I'd like to just share it with your audience. My website is Jane Weicker, JaneWeicker.com. And on that website, there are two free confidential quizzes, one for women called Soul Selfish, and the other a men's relationship quiz. And you can get to see where you stand, man or woman, right now, and you can get also you will get a suggestion of your next step.
Wow.
Yes, there's also on that website, many blogs, and a press page full of interviews and articles that I have done before.
Oh,
so you can immerse yourself in Soul Selfish as well as read the book.
Well, that is beautiful. I'm going to put the cover on my link page on the 411show.com, and I might have to get that test and take a look at it.
Well, thank you for that, Sharon, and always feel free to keep in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Jane, thank you so much, and you have a good rest of the day, okay?
You too. Right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Jane Weicker, and just very pleasant. Just 83. I mean, no joke out here. Just beautiful. I appreciate her. Her book is Soul Selfish. S-O-U-L. Soul. The Awakening of a Good Girl. So if you're trying to get happy, well, I suggest you get the cracking, baby. What you waiting on? And happiness is not in the shopping center. It's not on Amazon. Unless your name is Mrs. Bezos. I'm just kidding. I need to stop this today. I'm just on a bad girl. Now, happiness could be going to see Boney James. It could be, honestly, for somebody. We snuck this in kind of sort of on you with the quickness and didn't do a lot of warnings. But sometimes ye who pays attention is the ye who gets to go. Boney James is making his way back to Nashville this year on Wednesday, May the 8th at 7:30, presented by the Nashville Symphony. And he will actually be performing without the symphony. So it'll be Boney James and probably his band on the Honestly Tour Spring 2019. And if you would like to go, you and a friend or you and a loved one would like to go see Boney, I want to send you. I have a pair of tickets to give to the 8th caller at 615-329-8810. 615-329-8810. This is on Wednesday, May the 8th. So you got over a month of planning to get ready for the big deal at the Scrimmerhorn, the Honestly Tour, Spring 2019. Boney will be doing 25 years of hits on the stage at the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center with all that impeccable sound in there and Boney and, you know, the band and all that. And you will be there in the midst grinning and having a good time at the Honestly Tour Spring 2019 on Wednesday, May the 8th at 7:30. Call me now, 615-329-8810, 615-329-8810. Now, that is all, and you know I spell it A-L-L we have for you tonight. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.